Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
This is the Adam Carriker Show.
Position right of the quarterback, out of the shotgun, first and 20. Jailbreak screen in the air. It is tipped. It is intercepted by Carriker at the Missouri 21-yard line.
Live from the heart of Lincoln, America, eight-year NFL vet and All-American defensive lineman Adam Carriker.
Shotgun snap to Everett. He's got the left arm going, and now he's got a whole lot of Adam Carriker who rips it down inside the 25-yard line.
On 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com. Here is your host, Adam Carriker.
Hi, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome into hour two of the Adam Carriker Show here on 93.7 The Ticket. All right. It's the noon hour, and that means it's lunchtime. The lunch hour of the Adam Carriker Show on The Ticket is sponsored by our good friends at Mulberry Barbecue, now with two locations at 11th and Cornhusker and at 61st and Apples Way, right off of Highway 2 by Lowe's. Both locations are open Monday through Saturday from 11 a.m. to 8 p.m. Try their burn-in sandwich, a brisket burrito, barbecue nachos, full slab of ribs, half-smoked chicken, and much, much more, plus incredible sides. Get fueled for a lunch today or make dinner plans at Mulberry Barbecue, located at 11th and Cornhusker and at 61st and Apples Way, just off of Highway 2 by Lowe's. All right, additional note, we're going to continue to have one monthly remote at Mulberry Barbecue South location. And our next one is in the works as we speak. Stay tuned for that. All right, we'll get to Dana Holgorsen's offensive updates here shortly. Well, here's a couple of them, actually. I'm staring at the new depth chart for this week. Left tackle, there are zero ors. It used to be Turner Corcoran or, Gunnar Gatula or Turner Corcoran or Elijah Pritchett. Now it just says Gunnar Gatula. Then it just says Turner Corcoran. Then it just says Elijah Pritchett. We officially have a starting left tackle, and his name is Gunnar Gatula. A backup, Turner Corcoran, and third string is Elijah Pritchett. Reaction and thoughts. Text line, let us know. What's that number, Jake?
402-464-5685.
I feel like we're going to get some good news, bad news, Bach right here. So good news, bad news, Bach. What is your reaction to this?
Well, obviously, and Matt Rhule said it this offseason, too, that last year, one of their highest NIL earners, presumably they're on the offensive line, didn't get as much playing time as they wanted to, or, you know, originally maybe had planned. But that's football. You bring these guys in, you compete, you try to see, you know, where they are. Maybe on paper, this makes sense in the offseason. But once you get to the field, a guy rises up or whatever it might be. So, I mean, it is what it is. We saw Pritchett kind of have a few tough moments in week one. Saw him, you know, kind of being rotated in week two, like many of the other positions. So not much to read in between there. Gunnar Gatula, for what it's worth, that first touchdown run for Emmett Johnson, beat his guy down, got to the second level, threw that guy down, and Emmett Johnson was off to the races. So Gatula's, it's definitely nothing negative about Gatula. And then the other thing is, I try to tell people, you know, I know the expectation was a first round draft pick. Next year, if you still kind of look at it, the other side, Teddy Prohaska is a senior. Elijah Pritchett sure could help this team out, you know, maybe next year. Clearly has to kind of work some things out, maybe later in the season. I mean, you could get to a point where, you know what, this particular pass rush, we need more athleticism out there. Let's see if Pritchett can get it done. So there might be some time for him still to fight up and get back into that race. Clearly he wasn't too far 2 weeks ago. But as of right now, I think what everybody expected or wanted was at least some continuity along that front line. And I think that's best for business. It's best for the team moving forward. And so they settled on a guy, and it might not be the guy that gets paid the most, but it's the guy that they feel is playing the best.
It's what's best for business. I hear you, Vince and Trips and Stephanie. I hear you. Hey, I want to give a shout out to Gunnar Gutula. He clearly went out and earned. And to your point, watch the film of Akron. He does some people dirty in the line of work that an offensive lineman is doing. When you say you've done somebody dirty, that means you've done a good job. So shout out to Gunnar Gutula for earning the starting spot at left tackle. Also, I mean, shout out to all the guys that have been starting as well in the interior, but I also want to give a shout out to guys like Turner Corcoran and Teddy Prochaska, guys who battled multiple serious knee injuries. That is hard to do at any size, let alone when you're talking about guys that are 6'6", 310 in Turner Corcoran, and Teddy Prochaska, 6'10", 320. And he's had three major knee injuries, and he's come back, and he's earned that right tackle spot. So shout out to him. These are two guys who could have gone elsewhere. These are two guys who probably could have caused all sorts of problems because they've started and been a part of this program for years, both of them. No, didn't say a word, showed up, grinded, brought their lunch pail to work every day, and earned their spots. So shout out to both of them. When it comes to Pritchett, hey, man, there's a lot of time. The ceiling is high. Unfortunately, if you're third string and you were projected first-round draft pick last spring, the floor is also low, but the ceiling is high. You know, you start to put things together. Sometimes you connect a couple of dots, and the next dot comes, and it comes quickly, and all of a sudden things start to go in the right direction. The ceiling is still really high. There's still a lot of time, even though we are going into the third game of the season. But like you said, at some point, he could potentially contribute and help out this Nebraska team. Just got to get going in the right direction. All right, let's see what else we got here. Tight end, still got Luke Lindenmeyer. Still got Heinrich Harburg or Carter Nelson. I'm kind of keeping my eye on that to see how that unfolds. I do think Harburg is a good blocker, despite what Jake Bakoven says. He's had a couple of good blocks. Come on, Jake.
He's had a couple of good blocks and a couple of ones that weren't so good from week one. But he's improving. I'm not completely against him. I'm for Heinrich Harburg.
I'm glad you rephrased that. I knew what you meant, but I'm glad you rephrased. All right. No changes in the wide receiver department. No changes in the quarterback department. But we got our first real good glimpse of TJ Lateef. And I think Husker fans are excited. You can see why. And it's interesting because last year we had a true freshman start at quarterback. Now we have a true freshman who's earned the backup job at quarterback. And I'll say it again. If Jalen Gromstrad is your third string quarterback, this is the best depth we've had in the quarterback room for a long time at Nebraska. So you have to at least feel better about that. But you get a chance to see what TJ Lateef can do, albeit versus Akron, all right, on Saturday. And he shows you. He goes 6-7, live arm, great ability to run. And he was here in the spring. He was actually here for bowl practices, if you remember. He was on campus in December. So those reps have clearly helped speed up his learning timeline. This is an exciting guy and a guy with a bright future going forward in the future. What say you on this, Jake?
Yeah, it's exciting to see. I mean, again, it's the quarterback position, so I kind of hold off on, projecting 3 or 4 years down the line. But for now, he can help. I mean, and that's what you're kind of looking for, especially out of a true freshman. Like you said, Gromstead was kind of thought to be recruited back to that role to give them a solid backup. And now he's third, so you would think Lateef has surpassed him, of course. And he looked good in his limited time that he had against Akron. So it's good. It's awesome news for now. And you feel like Nebraska has a fighting chance, certainly, if Dylan goes down.
All right. You continue to move on. Running back, we have a 1, 2, 3, 4, as is listed on the depth chart anyways. I think there is still a 2 through 4, even though there's no ors here. One is obviously Emmett Johnson, but listed at 2 is Makai Nelson. Listed at 3 is Isaiah Mosey. Listed at 4 is Quentin Ives. Has any one of these guys, and none of them played a ton of the first game, so I'll speak mostly to Akron, has any of these guys stood out to you a little bit more than the others, whether it be for good reasons or not so good reasons, amongst Nelson, Mosey, and Ives, Jake?
I think Mosey, just from the receptions that he had. It wasn't really the runs, although he did have one run credit at the text line for pointing that out the other day that did get called back, but didn't have any runs on the stat sheet, but was able to contribute in the receiving category. And he was breaking tackles. I mean, that's kind of what Coach asked for after week one, is we need some guys out there to be able to make people miss. And so, you know, that kind of tenacity to try to fight forward, I think has been good. Obviously, when you look at you know, closer to body types. Maybe Quentin Ives kind of bigger, although he's not listed all that much bigger than Isaiah Mosey, but taller. So, you know, maybe there's a different route for him as kind of the bigger back to get on the field than those other guys. But I would say Mosey probably has stood out more than anybody.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. At ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
Hey, look at the size and how they're listed. And I always take listings with a grain of salt. But Mekhi Nelson, 6 foot 195. Isaiah Mosey, 6 foot 210. Quentin Ives, 6'3", 215. I mean, 6'3", 3 inches is huge. A huge difference at running back. And only a 5-pound difference from him to Mosey. I think he weighs more than 215. I'm surprised it's not a 225.
Yeah.
I don't mean that's a bad thing. I mean, that's a good thing. Like, he looks like a big, strong back. You look at that running back room, every single one of those guys should be back next year. And 3 of those 4 guys are underclassmen. 2 of them are freshmen. You think about how young this team is. You look at the top 2 at quarterback. They should both be back next year. Top 4 at running back should all be back next year. Of our 3 starting receivers, 2 of them should be back. And those 2 guys are underclassmen, Isaiah Hunter and Ja'Cory Barney. I mean, Luke Lindenmeyer is a junior. Talk about a young team. If everybody just boilerplate sticks to what's on paper, which we know is not going to happen, but just stick with me for a second here. 7 of these 11 guys will be back next year. And it's the offensive line that really has 3 of the 4 seniors. Again, the offensive line has, by for a second year in a row, by far the most experienced position group of any group on offense, for sure. Probably the entire team, although the back end, the secondary, has got a lot of experience on defense. I mean, does that mean anything to you at this point? Are you just like, oh, the transfer portal, half the team could leave tomorrow? Or do you feel a little bit better with the direction that college football is heading, as far as, like, there are contracts being signed? There is only one portal window. Like, players are going to be more likely to stay with their current team than they have been the past 3 or 4 years. How do you feel about this?
Well, roster building has been difficult for, you know, for a lot of teams to kind of keep up with. Like you said, with the transfer portal, you know, a lot of young players that I was pretty excited about, especially among that, you know, defensive front last year, bolted. You know, they were young, and you're thinking, okay, well, you got years left of Uman Mielen or James Williams or whoever. And so I can't get excited about a single player as much as maybe I used to, but I think as a whole, obviously more numbers, the better opportunity that more of those guys are going to stick around.
And just a reminder, we are the youngest team in the Big Ten. Like, that is a fact. All right. So as far as offensive depth chart updates, that's where we're at. We'll quickly go through the defense. All right. A defensive end is still Cam Lenhart or Williams Wanerie. And I think Williams Wanerie has stood out as much as any of the defensive linemen so far to me. All right. Cam's still a really good player. Yo, Kate Pierzak. The true freshman. Can't wait to watch. It's a young dude right there. 6'5", 265. You want to talk about being on the lighter side for a 3-3-5 defense, although we're in a lot of 4-man lines. I mean, he is, but man, he's got a bright future. All right, at nose guard. And I mentioned this earlier. Let's see here. We've only got 2 guys listed not over 300 pounds. We have 0 guys listed on the D-line over 300 pounds. Only 2 guys listed at 300 pounds. Excuse me, Elijah Judy, who starts for us. And the other one is a sophomore, Sua Lafotu. Hope I said that right. are exactly at 300. So again, we're a little bit on the lighter side. I had thought that Gabe Moore was 300, but he's 290. But again, not much has changed on the depth chart here. Keona Davis played well in the first game, got banged up. He's a guy who's going to be good for us for a while, especially when healthy. Not a whole lot of new thoughts on this defensive line as far as the depth chart or anything on my end. What about you, Jake?
Yeah, nothing really to break down there, except for, I mean, I just want to see, like he is third on the depth chart. Now, you mentioned him, Cade Petrock. The first glimpse we saw of him, he got the safety. I mean, he looks, he's got, you know, kind of a quick twitch there off the line. He looks to be Nebraska's next kind of younger prized prospect along that defensive line. And so, I mean, and it wasn't, that's the one thing. I mean, it's one thing to look at the depth chart. The other thing, he's just out there a lot. So for a third stringer, especially, he was out there a lot. So I wonder if that's matchups or the Akron thing, or just trying to get, you know, more, you know, get the initial experience to him, or if he's going to be that big of a part of the rotation moving forward.
All right. You go to the Jack and the two linebacker positions. Not a whole lot of change there. The only thing that's interesting to me is Marquez Watson Trent or Vincent Shavers at the first linebacker spot. There's still an or between those two. And I think a lot of people, including myself, just kind of expected there to be an and. Like it would be Vincent at one spot and Marcus at another spot. Right now, there's still an or. Any thoughts on that?
Well, it's interesting. Shavers didn't come in the healthiest, right? Did force that fumble, that really important fumble toward the end of the half, the first half against Cincinnati. I don't know. And I think Marquise Watson-Trinna came in as a tackling machine, right? I think he has like two tackles so far, something around there. It's not much more than that. So I expected a little bit more out of him and obviously expecting a lot of Vincent Shavers. So we'll see as the year goes on. But yeah, at some point, Shavers, remember, doesn't have the black shirt. He does have the single digit number. Coach Rule says he's kind of a tone setter at practice. So maybe that's a health thing.
Yeah, it's interesting because, like you said, he has a single digit number, does not have the black shirt, tone setter. Rule says nothing but glowing things about him at press conferences. It's got to be health related. All right. Look at Marquez Watson. I still remember, and I mentioned this before, and I mentioned it at the time last spring. Dylan Raiola is like the leaders on the team are at this point, anyways. And he listed seven guys, and Marquez Watson Trent was one of them. So I'm just curious to see how this all unfolds. All right, Rover, you got Deshaun Singleton, cornerback Andrew Marshall, safety Marquise Buford Jr., nickel Malcolm Hartsaw Jr., cornerback Zaire Wright. Nothing of note there. Long snapper. Still Kevin Galick. Hey, I haven't said his name all season so far until just now. Kudos to Kevin, because the less your name is said, the better you're playing. Punt returner Ja'Cory Barney, Andrew Marshall. I am excited to see what Andrew can do at some point, although I would not remove Ja'Cory Barney from the punt returner. Maybe try Andrew at kick returner. There's a lot of oars there at kick returner. Kenneth Williams, who's gotten the most this year, Isaiah Mosey, Mekhi Nelson. So Mosey and Nelson, they're trying to get the ball in their hands. I know Andrew Marshall's a dynamic returner as well. So for me, it's like there's a lot of oars there, which means there's a lot of mucky water as far as nobody's really stood out yet. All right, holder, punter, place kicker. The only thing of note there is there's no longer an oar at place kicker between John Hull, Tristan Alvano. It's Kyle Cunanan, John Hull, Tristan Alvano. All right. I did think this was interesting as well. This is via Pavelka's fan uncle on Twitter, so take this for what it's worth. For anyone curious, Akron would be favored by 13 points over Houston Christian on a neutral field per ESPN SP+. Thoughts on that?
So just add 13 to 68. There we go. Yeah, 81. 81 to nothing is what I want.
So if they don't win 81 to nothing, it's a failure. Is that what you're saying?
That's right. Or you're not covering the spread. But I don't know.
Do we know if there's a spread?
I don't think there is a spread with FCS.
That's BS.
I can see if they've got one. A couple FCS teams beat FBS teams this past week.
Well, okay, so there's two reasons it's BS. Number one, they are going to play the game. You're not guaranteed anything. Number two, there are folks out there who would like to have a little bit of fun with that spread. What do you think the spread would be? Because we were 34.5 over Akron. If you add 13 to that, does that mean we're 47.5 favorite over Houston Christian, or are we 81-point favorite over Houston Christian?
I think it would be into the 50s, maybe 52.5, somewhere around there.
Have you thought about your score prediction at all yet?
Not necessarily.
So does Nebraska at least have to win 68 to nothing this weekend, or is it a failure?
I wouldn't put it that way.
I'm joking, but I wonder what the expectation is now, in all seriousness.
Yeah. I mean, I still think as I look at it now, if they would have, if they'd known, if you could have told them you're going to beat Akron 68-0, I think they would have challenged somebody, you know, had a little bit bigger of a challenge. That's kind of, they kind of got done what you needed to get done against Houston Christian, against Akron. So it's kind of just like a rinse and repeat type of week, you hope.
Yeah.
But I mean, how can everything go exactly right like it did the previous week? Two straight shutouts. It's a lot to ask, but again, it is Houston Christian.
All right, we'll see. Oh, I'm sitting at the Dana Holgorsen, Butler as well. I don't know if we get to Butler today. And a few other press conference notes. Let's take a break. Then we will talk about some of the updates from Coach Holgorsen and see who else we can get to today. Is there anything from the text line real quick?
Let's see. T.I. says, with NIL, it's hard to count on guys coming back. Eric says, Bach is the Harburg hater. Not true.
Bad news, Bach. The Harburg hater.
And Unmasked Texter says, enough talk of the Alabama transfer offensive lineman. He goes on to say discouraging words.
He won't even say his name. Why can't we talk about him? Has he become the new Scott Frost? Like, you're not allowed to talk about certain guys? We were going through the depth chart. He's third on the depth chart. This is noteworthy. All right. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.